Chapter 8, Home by Day. Jack could hear the flapping of wings and the sound of steady breathing. The lion flew in circles above the whirlpool. Then he soared in a great arc up through the sky.
"We're going back now," cried Annie.
Jack lowered his head. He buried his face again in the lion's shaggy, wet mane. He didn't look up. He was too tired to think, as he gave himself over to the lion's wondrous powers of flight. The lion carried Jack and Annie back through the dawn. As they glided over the calm sea, the water sparkled with light from the rising sun. By the time the lion reached the skies over Venice, darkness had turned to day. Shades of lavender glowed above the city's towers, domes, and spires. Venice was veiled in a soft pink light. The lion flew to St. Mark's Square. He glided toward the clock tower, moving more and more slowly. Finally, he landed softly, like a cat, on the terrace of the tower. Jack took a deep breath and stroked the lion's golden mane. Then he and Annie climbed off the lion's back. Jack's legs felt wobbly. He clutched the lion for a moment to get his balance. The lion let out a low growl. He turned his huge head and licked Jack's hand. His rough tongue felt like sandpaper. Jack laughed. Annie laughed too as the lion licked her.
"You were magnificent," she said.
"Yeah," said Jack. "That was a great ride."
The lion let out a long purr. Then he pulled away from the two of them and padded to the edge of the terrace. The lion gave Jack and Annie one last look over his shoulder. Then he leapt over the terrace railing and landed silently on the ledge below. Looking over the railing, Jack and Annie watched the living lion become a statue again. In an instant, his shaggy mane, golden back, powerful legs, tufted tail, and feathered wings all turned to carved gray stone.
"Oh," said Jack sadly.
He missed the living lion hiding inside the stone statue. A thundering bong made Jack and Annie jump. Beside them, the two bronze men were striking their gigantic bell. They struck it 6 times.
"It's 6 in the morning," said Annie. "We were gone a long time."
"Yeah," said Jack.
"Hey, look at the angel weather vane now," said Annie.
Jack looked up at the gold angel on top of the watchtower. The weather vane was turning in the wind. It suddenly stopped and pointed toward the west.
"Remember the last lines from Merlin's letter?" said Annie.
She recited them from memory.
"An angel of gold will show you the way to the sea by night and home by day."
"I guess now that Venice is safe, the angel is telling us it's time to go home," said Jack.
"Yep," said Annie.
Jack picked up his backpack, and he and Annie headed down the stairs of the tower. When they reached the bottom, they stepped out of the darkness into the bright morning light. Only a few puddles of water dotted the square. Carnival had ended. The people in costumes had all gone home. A flock of pigeons fluttered noisily about the cobblestones, picking at orange peels, squash grapes, torn ribbons, and feathers. There was no sign of the flood, except for some patches of seaweed. Jack turned and looked up at the clock tower. The morning sun cast a rosy light over the lion's stone body. The lion stood with pride and dignity, watching over St. Mark's Square, his great powers a secret to everyone but Jack and Annie.